It gets such a fierce storm on a small lake. It's not a big lake. The Sea of Galilee is not a big lake, not when you grow up in the ocean. And our ocean isn't as big as your ocean because it's just between Finland and Sweden. But it still is, you can get quite a storm. But when I was in, the only time I've been in the Holy Land, our guide told us that these storms come up on the lake because there are mountains all around, so when the, and then there are two like openings on each end, so the wind comes through and then it just pushes against this mountain, then it hits that mountain, then it pushes it back, and so it gets, it doesn't come from one direction, so it just goes like this, and that's why the waves come from every direction and it gets so fierce, because the Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long and 7 miles wide. It's 150 feet deep and it's 680 feet below sea level. But even with such a small lake, because of the situation there, it's said that the waves can get 20 feet high. Mm. Now, that is a lot. Yeah. You know, if we had, when I last was in Finland, there was kind of a storm, but the waves were not close to that, you know, maybe 6 feet, 8 feet. And it's still, if you're up in a small boat, that's dangerous. If you go into one of those waves, you're gone. So you really want to make sure the conditions are right before you are too far out, or you keep looking at the horizon, because sometimes they come up really quickly, these storms, just like the one we had the other day. Well, maybe it wasn't so quick, but we hadn't seen anything, you know. And all of a sudden it was so bad. And we're all facing some kind of storms in our personal lives, in our families, job situation, health situation, maybe emotional stress or whatever stress we go through. And if we don't have any of that, then I think we're all facing a storm in our world, in our country.
That's right.
It's and I don't think we can expect it to calm down very soon. It's probably getting a little, the waves are getting a little higher and the wind coming from even more directions.
Yes.
And it's nothing relaxing to look forward to. So that's why we have this text, so that we kind of get some guidelines how to get through the storms. And Jesus himself is giving them, so it's beautiful. I mean, we have mentioned this text now several times, but I think I want to read it again. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed, this is Matthew 14, starting at verse 22. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. It's worth reading this account in the different Gospels, because there are some different descriptions. Some that are not mentioned in one are mentioned in the other, and it's really nice to compare them. We were talking about, you know, the storms in our lives. And I'll just mention a short little thing, you know, and it applies to this country just as much as it does to my own. But when I was over there this summer to visit my parents and help out in the ranch in Finland, it was really so different from ever before because of the danger of our eastern neighbor. Our whole eastern border borders to Russia, and with everything that's going on in the Ukraine, it's just in the air, this insecurity. Then there, while I was there, it was big in the papers again. They're stationing more Russian troops on the eastern border of Finland. They were invading the Finnish airspace a couple of times. The ships were right at the outpost. You know, it's, but it's not much different here. Okay, they're not so close to you as to us, but here we have other dangers. And you know, we have the Arizona and you have the Mexican border, and there's not good things going on there either. And so a storm is brewing, and when it will really break loose, we don't know. I also have had in my family, you know, a storm brewing, and I won't, some of your dear kin and friends have been praying for my nephew, and I won't go into the situation, but he's 25, he just got married, and he's waiting for a very, very difficult and dangerous brain surgery. So this is, you know, this has been going on now for, I don't know, since Christmas or so, just waiting. And so I think it's good for each of us, and that's why this text is speaking to me. And when Marge first sent the song to me, I just been singing it to myself, because I need to encourage myself, you know. And so I think it's good if we, each one of us, identify some storm in your life, or if you don't have anything, then just think of the situation. So, okay, it seems like you can take in something of the message. And, you know, I think in this situation, this is also where Mother Basilea's message helps me so much, and her songs. And her songs, Sister Georgine is really, you know, with the battle of faith, we're all with them. The trust songs are the ones that really, you know, speak to my heart when I go through difficult times. Mm-hmm. Just saying out, my Father, I trust you. And you will bring the help in the right time. And all those things that are expressed under, there's a CD with trust songs too. And but also in the books, you know, you can find that. And like in this one, Nature Out of Control, I don't know, Sister. That you think maybe, oh, what is that, you know. But the chapters in the, at the end, they talk all about it, knowing the Father, song in the night, the supreme test, His mercies never come to an end. And those are all words you just hang on when you need them. So, how do we take courage in a storm? This is how we need to learn now, what we need to learn, how we need to find out. How can we take courage? And I think there are many things we can learn from this story of Jesus walking on the water. And I'll bring a few points. I don't think we can even go through the whole story because there's so much you can learn from it, but we'll just start on it. The first thing is Jesus makes the disciples get into the boat. And if you noticed when I read the story, there's several times where it says immediately. Jesus makes the disciples get into the boat. That's verse 22. And so when we end up in a storm, you know, it doesn't have to be that we made a wrong decision. And this, I think, can encourage us. Jesus sent them out. He made them. He knew what was coming. Jesus sent them out into the storm. He asked them to get into the boat and start their journey over. Extra. This was his will. Out into the night. Maybe it was calm and nice when they left. But Jesus knew what was happening. That they would end up in a storm. And he had planned that extra. And maybe sometimes he plans that for us too. You know, it's interesting because when you read the Gospel of John, then they just didn't wait for Jesus. He didn't come, and so they said, oh, so I don't know which one is correct, but I think that is, there are two Gospels that says that Jesus sent them away, and one that said that they didn't wait for him, he didn't come. So, but it's encouraging because for each situation, God can use that. But the storm doesn't always mean that we have to ask ourselves, oh, what did I do wrong? I must have done terrible wrong, and now I can't hear from the Lord. He might send you just on purpose into the storm. Well, why? Why would he do that? Why would he send you into the storm? Well, what does he do? After he sent the disciples away, what did he do?
He went to pray.
He went up on the mountain to pray. And the Bible doesn't tell us what he prayed about.
Is this between him and his father?
Yeah, that is. But one time Sister Rebecca talked about this, and she said, well, you know, we don't know what he really prayed about. Maybe he did he pray about his next sermon, or did he just have conversation with the Father, or where he would go next? We don't know. But in her mind, she thought that he must have prayed for the disciples. He knew they needed it. He knew that he's sending them out into a storm. And he had to do that to teach them something. But now he went up to pray for them. So Jesus prays. And you know, a lot of things we learn only by experience. We don't learn them when we are told. Children don't learn it. They say, don't touch that. And they go ahead and touch it. You will hurt yourself. Only after they hurt themselves once they learn it. And we are much like that in many things. And so maybe Jesus, you know, they had already experienced a lot of different things with Jesus. But they needed to receive a new revelation of him or a stronger faith. You know, soon he would be not with them anymore. And they would be on their own, be sent out into the whole world. And they needed to have their testimony. And how can you have testimony if you don't go through tests? But Jesus, you know, he always, even when we fail the test, he gives us a new chance. And sometimes when we pass the test, we say, okay, good. Now we can give it a little more difficult. Make her a little stronger. He doesn't give up on us. Even when we fail, you could have, okay, you guys, you're just impossible. You haven't learned, you have experienced all this. I'll try the next 12. No.
Praise God.
Praise God. And so he sends them out into the storm to build up their faith, to give them a new experience of who he is. And so maybe if there's a storm going on in your life, maybe that's the purpose. Don't look at it as something terrible and I wish this was over now. And then the third point is Jesus keeps a close watch on his disciples. And in the gospel I read to you, it's not mentioned, and that's why I want you to read some of the other ones too. In Mark, it's recorded. in chapter 6, 48, verse 48. Jesus saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. He sees us. He sees us when we're struggling in that storm. He knows exactly where we are at the lake. Even when it's dark, Jesus can see it. The disciples couldn't, but Jesus can. And, you know, up there on the mountain praying for his disciples, must have been watching, you know. And with such a small lake, you know, they left in the evening. And he didn't come till between 3 and 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. But in all that time in between, he was watching. When is the right time? Can they hold through a little longer? And sometimes it maybe seems to us that it takes a little bit too long. Did you ever think that? God's timing is right. And this last year I've been through a lot of that with where I felt, you know, I don't know if you heard the illustration of the Teresa of Lisieux, but she sometimes felt like she was the little play toy, play ball of Jesus, and sometimes he tossed her in that corner and didn't pick it up for several days, and then some other days, you know, he wanted to play with the little and just be flexible, you know, and say, I want to be played with now, and I want to be in that corner, and I don't want to be thrown over there, you know. He knows it. And he keeps close watch. How long can I wait? When is the strength out? And we think, I can't go on anymore. But you know, you can go on for a long time after you say you can't go on anymore. It stretches you, makes you stronger. And then in verse 25, Jesus comes. In the fourth watch, you know, that's a long time. I don't know, I was trying to think of that. We don't know what time of the year, or do we know what time of the year this story was? Anyway, we have in Finland, we have those long, long summer nights. But in Israel, it's more like Arizona, I think it gets dark quick. So even if it was summer, maybe by 8 o'clock it was dark. And if they're struggling till 3 o'clock, that's been 7 hours in the storm, in the raging storm. That's a long time. And if it didn't come till 6 o'clock, it's even longer, you know.
7 hours they were in the boat?
I don't know. I don't know how long they were. It says he sent the people away. They couldn't have been totally dark at that time. And he went up to pray, and he only comes in the fourth watch, which is between 3 and 6. That's the fourth watch. He's not in a hurry. Sometimes he comes, you know, like there's several times it says immediately. But sometimes it takes time. And so what do we do in those times?
Worry.
Well, that's not very productive, is it?
It makes me think of another story where they were in a boat in the storm, and they were all worried and think they were going to die.
That's right.
Jesus was relaxed and asleep.
He slept. Yeah, we did that one retreat, didn't we? When he slept in the boat on a cushion.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, they're not expecting him to come. You know, they're just struggling there with the oars or the sail, or maybe they had to take the sail down, I don't know. Maybe the boat was going back and forth, we don't know all of that, but they were struggling. And then they see something coming. And what do? Oh, it must be Jesus.
No.
Oh, he's coming finally to help us. It's a ghost. You know, often the way we think of God is how we experience him. And the disciples are afraid. They're terrified. And they feel they're so far away from Jesus. He's up there on the mountain, and they're here alone, and he's left them, and it's a terrible situation. And now, oh my goodness, now it's getting even worse. The next terrible thing is happening. Something is coming, and it's a ghost. This is the Georgine sees the light. I see the ghost. So you pick your choice. Well, it was scary because they screamed with terror. You know, these were not some nervous women, you know. These were the disciples. They were men. They were fishermen. They were used to the boat. They were used to this rough sea. And they screamed for terror. All because they do not expect Jesus. They do not expect him to be just love and to help and to come in the right time. And you know, in this situation with my nephew, I sometimes think that it's just progressively getting worse. The whole situation is progressively getting worse. And I think, oh, this is, you know, this is like a ghost. It really is like a ghost. But then I have to remind myself, no, it is I. It is Jesus. And sometimes what he has prepared as a special help, he's coming himself to help them. It might look first like a ghost to us, but we just have to hold on to it. It's Jesus who's coming, even when we can't recognize him yet. And it looks so scary. Mother Basilea's famous word. Let's say it together, those who know it. My Father, I do not understand you, but I trust in your love. That is a word that will take you through a lot of storms if you can just keep saying it. And sometimes we have to keep repeating it. You know, it doesn't, it's not just with one time and everything, we feel at peace and everything is wonderful. We just have to keep saying it. I read a little, in Streams of the Desert, there was a little illustration about this lady who had somebody who came in and cleaned her house or something. And this lady, she was a real worrier. And so she kept telling to the lady who came in to help her, said, oh, Nancy, it's okay right now, but just think what could come in the future. You know, just suppose that this would happen and you have no employment more, and how are you going to do it? Or suppose this, and the lady, she just interrupted her and said, stop! I never suppose. The Lord is my shepherd, and I know I shall not want. And honey, she added to her gloomy friend, it's all those supposes that makes you so miserable. And it's true. It is true. So, you better give them up and trust the Lord. That's a good advice. I love this, Hudson Taylor. I think he has a very powerful testimony. And this is one just very short word from Hudson Taylor. The Lord is my shepherd, not was, or maybe, or will be. He is my shepherd on Monday and through every day of the week. He is my shepherd in January. He's my shepherd in December and every month of the whole year. He is the shepherd at home and in China. He is the shepherd in peace and in war, in abundance and in poverty. He is the shepherd. And you know, I read somewhere, when we worry, it's like we think we're in charge. We have to solve the whole thing. Well, I would like to do that, you know. And somebody else said, meditation is just like worrying. It's just thinking about something, but thinking about Jesus instead of the worries, because we're very good at worrying and just going over the things over and over from this side and that, and what if, and suppose this and suppose that. And then we come to, I think this is the second immediately. This is verse 27 and point number 5. Jesus immediately speaks. What does he say? We should all know it by heart now. Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. He speaks immediately. You know, when they scream out, it's a ghost, you know. He speaks to set them at peace. Words of love. It is I am here to help you. Don't be afraid. He comes close, and like then, you know, later he steps into the boat. He comes close, they can see him walking on the water. They have just before, on the evening, they have experienced how he multiplied the bread and, you know, fed the multitudes. Now they see him walking underwater. He comes close. And he speaks to us. Take courage. Be of good cheer, some other translation said. But I like take courage. And I want to point out to you that it says take courage. It's not like you have to be strong now, you know. We were thinking about the theme for the retreat and the different choices, but I like this one. Take courage, you know. Like so often in the Bible, Jesus invites us. Take it. Come. Eat. Drink. It's available to you. But you have to take that, make the decision to come and take the little step. Take courage. Can't just sit around and moan and groan how bad the situation is, or call all your friends up so that they feel sorry for you. Or, you know, it will just build up your fear and anxiety. Take courage. We have to do something. And there's another scripture that kind of speaks, it's similar. And it's from John 14, I think. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Mm-hmm. You know, it's somewhere, and we have to do something. Do not let them. Do not allow it to happen. And Jesus doesn't say this should never happen. You know, this is. But I mean, that you have anxiety, that you're troubled, that comes to us. But do not let it take over. We have to make a choice. And so I've kind of through these weeks, I have asked myself, well, how? How? And then I was reminded of King David, you know. I love the Psalms. But in King David, in 1 Samuel 30, the first 7 verses, there's a story about King David that is very helpful to us in this situation. The enemy had ruined the city, you know, he was out with all his men fighting, and the children and the wives were at home in Ziklag. And while they were all gone, the enemy had ruined the city, they had taken the captives, the wives and the children, and taken everything away. And now David's own men are so upset with him that they're thinking about stoning him. Well, that's bad. When you're the leader. Desperate. And what does David say that he does? Do you know? He encouraged himself in the Lord, doesn't he?
That's right.
That's the right thing. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, how? How did he encourage himself in the Lord? It only says he encouraged himself in the Lord. We have to find out, you know, how. And of course, I don't know how he did it at that time, but I have picked up on a lot of other different situations that David was in. You know, he didn't tell himself what a successful soldier he had been or something like that, you know. That didn't help. At this point, all his men were after him. They were just upset with him. They were ready to stone him, get rid of him. But in the Psalms, you know, you find a lot of Psalms of King David. Or maybe he wasn't king at all the time, I don't know, of David. And I have marked a lot of places in my Bible, in the margin, where David is in a terrible situation. Most of the time it's the enemies that are behind him and trying to kill him or something, you know. And then, all of a sudden, in the middle of the psalm or somewhere in the psalm, there comes a total turnaround. First he has just poured out his heart how terrible the situation is. And then, often comes a one word, it's not in every situation there, but there is often it is there. And what is that word? Starts with a B.
But.
But. Yes, I will praise the Lord.
Yes.
The Lord hears me when I call. He gives me strength for battle. The Lord is good, and I will worship him, and I will testify in front of the congregation of his goodness, and I will remember all the good things that he has done. And I think that is, maybe that is what he did at Ziklag. It's not reported, but he did that in many other situations. And so I mark my Bible with, you know, like an arrow that goes like that, you know? Where this turnaround comes. It's very helpful. I love to pray the scriptures, and you will notice that later today too, because I think what more powerful thing can you have than the scriptures? And so I maybe at this point will give each one of you such a word. And these, most of them are from King David. There are a couple ones that are powerful words, but not from King David. But most of them are from King David. And they have this little bolt on them, you know. It's in the storm. And on the back it says, I feel the storm all around me, but... And then comes your word. This one says, but I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love. For you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. O my strength, I sing praise to you. You, O God, are my fortress, my loving God. And I did not put on these little slips the situation that David was in when he came to the but. Because I thought then you maybe think, oh, this doesn't apply to me. You know, I didn't want you to think that. Because... So I would still encourage you to read your scripture and the verses before, or the psalm, if it's maybe in a larger part of the psalm, to read it. Because really, I think if you compare your situation with David's situation, the way it's described in that word, I think that you might not be able to say that yours is worse. With the enemies after him trying to take his life. So if David, in the situation he was in, was able to put that but in his form, then we should be able to do that too. Are they going both ways?
They're going.
We have two plates?
They're coming.
Oh, good. Because I think it would be good at this time that we just proclaim, you know, some of you that like your word or like to read it or something, that's just, there are 24 different words. So, you know, some of you are going to have doubles, but there's still a variety of them. And that will strengthen all of us, because we just have one to hold on to, but when we hear the multitude and, you know, all the different things that we can do to encourage ourselves in the Lord. It's very practical, you know. But, yes, 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 it's true, all the things that you feel, but, you know, I will praise the Lord. I will sing of your strength. This is mine. I have sinned. Yes, Judy.
We may not have enemies that want to kill us with bows and arrows and things coming on, but we have enemies, though.
We have enemies
on our mind.
Mm-hmm. We have enemies in our mind, yeah.
Arrows.
They're shooting a lot of arrows in our mind.
So we can apply it to the devil who hates us.
Yeah.
And sends his emissaries after us.
That's right. And a lot of these things could be just like these heavy feelings and hopeless and, you know. And so if you start in that, you know, fear comes over you, you know, or whatever. If you then start, but I will sing of your strength. And then you start singing of his strength. You know, it's going to, just like with the battle of faith, you know. The enemy has to flee. He doesn't like to hear that I will sing of the Lord when I'm in the middle of the storm. Did Marge get one too?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
She did.
Good. Well, we have a little bit of time, and I think that's much more powerful than what I say, to just proclaim some of these so that we all get blessed by them. Who would like to start? But you have to speak up loud.
Mm-hmm. I feel the storm all around me, but I will praise God's name in song and glorify Him with thanksgiving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when you start giving thanks and glorify Him, then all that heaviness starts lifting.
Mm-hmm.
Count your blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
I feel the storm all around me, but I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands.
Beautiful. What I get you? Oh, they want to know the scripture reference.
It's Psalms 63, verses 2-4.
Yeah, they want to note them down so they have some extra helps too. Once they have fulfilled their own word, they're starting on the next.
That's right.
If it hasn't lifted yet, you know, then they go on to the next. Anybody else? Yes, Lita? Loud?
I feel the storm all around me, but I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. Oh, my strength, I sing praise to you. You, oh God, are my fortress, my loving God. In Psalm 59.
Psalm 59, 16-17. And you know, when you start doing that, then you also get expected to sing, you are my loving God. Then you don't got, oh, he doesn't come and help me. And you know, you are my loving God. You will come when the time is right.
What was the first scripture?
What was the first scripture?
Psalm 69:30.
69:30. Good.
I feel the storm all around me, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what is the scripture reference? They want to write it down.
Psalm 13:5.
13:5. Mm-hmm. Yes?
I am in the midst of the storm, but I rest on my soul. In God alone, my hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. Psalm 62:5-6.
Isn't that good? It will not be shaken when you feel like everything is shaking around you. You will not be shaken because you're holding on to the Lord.
What was the reference that you read?
That was the same as Lita's.
Oh, okay.
We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Second Chronicles 20:12.
That's a powerful story. That's isn't that the King Jehoshaphat?
Yes.
You know, all the enemies are coming, and then afterwards they go out singing against all the armies. They sing praise to the Lord, and the armies are scattering.
Second Chronicles
20:12. Yes,
read the chapter. I feel the storm all around me, but I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. They're so good, these scriptures, you know.
Yeah. Psalm 31:14. You are my God. You are. So, devil, be gone.
Yeah. It's like the Lord is my shepherd, you know. You are my God.
Yes.
You are. At this moment, you are God. Yes?
Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God.
Yeah, this had the yet instead of that, you know.
Was it?
Yet
the reference?
I will praise him. It's the same thing. Yes, you?
I feel the storm all around me, but when I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Psalm 56:3-4.
56:3-4.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Judy.
I would like to give a testimony about that verse.
Then you better come up here.
No, I think you can hear me. My my little daughter, when she was probably 6 or 7, she had nightmares about bears coming together. And I taught her this verse, Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Well, she's 50 now, and she's still standing on that verse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, scripture is powerful to stand on, you know. Mm-hmm. Mary Ellen? Mm.
Just to add to that, Karen, my little granddaughter, when she was 3, taught me this song from that verse. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, I will trust in you, I will trust in you. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise.
Beautiful. You know, simple little songs like that are very powerful and they're easy to learn. I will trust in you, I will trust in you. Anybody else? Yes, Elaine?
I feel the storm all around me, but my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. Psalm 57, 7-8.
Yeah, I love this. It's not one of these but words, but in Psalm 138, it says, you give me strength in my soul, you know, and that's often what we need, strength in the soul, because we get shaky inside, and he has promised to give strength to our souls. Yes, Judy?
I made a mistake.
You made a mistake back. What?
Didn't read back where the verse was.
Oh, what was the first?
I feel the storm all around me, but surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Mm-hmm. Psalm 54:4.
Mm-hmm. Well, next time when you read through the Psalms, Sarah.
I feel the storm all around me, but I will give you thanks in the great assembly. Among throngs of people, I will praise you. Psalm 35:18.
Okay, good. You find those throngs of people and you give testimony. Thanks to him. Yes? Steph?
Most of the time we forget about the miracles that happen around us. We don't recognize it. Mm-hmm. And I've been kind of meditating on that because sometimes I ask the Lord to reveal himself so I can feel assured when I need strength. And almost immediately, and that word really spoke to my heart when he said that immediately something will happen. Mm-hmm. And he will say that would not, that is not possible if it's not there. And he will reveal himself, and I get this message now. It says, I feel the storm all around me, but I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on your works, and I will consider all your mighty deeds. Psalm 77:11.
It's very powerful to remember what the Lord has done in your life, you know, before, because we tend to forget. Now we're in this situation and now it just looks hopeless, but he brought us through so many times already, and when we remember that and praise him for that, it gives us courage to press through again.
He parted the Red Sea, but now I'm hungry.
Right. Yeah, Judy?
I feel the storm. I feel like I just didn't pick this at random.
Oh.
Because I am a singer and I do worship a lot. That's how I combat the enemy. I feel a storm all around me, but I will sing a new song to you, oh God. On the 10-string lyre, I will make music to you. To the one who gives victory to kings, who delivers his servant from the deadly sword. And it's Psalm 144, 9 and 10.
144, 9 and 10. And I think Karen wanted to read hers.
Yes, it says, I feel a storm all around me, but don't you slay me, yet I will hope. Mm-hmm. Job
13. What was that?
Job.
13:15.
Yeah. Job was an amazing...
Yes,
man,
does.
In between, you know, the, what he says, and he will bring me forth as gold. I know my Redeemer lives, yeah. Most of them are by David. If you want another one from David, you can have that too. But I put in a few other ones because I wanted to have a variety. So. Oh, we have to. What?
Thank you.
Welcome. We have to. Watch I wanted to mention this book because this is really a very powerful tool for the end time believers. And here you find a lot of good principles for the times that we live in. You know, testimonies of Mother Bas- from Mother Basilea's life. And where is she? Lynn? Anyway, and Sister Georgine, we have a lot of trust material out there, and you can also find this leaflet on the book table, Three Words That Can Change Everything. And that is a very good tool. And Sister Georgine, I was wondering if we could make this exception here. We have so many of these dear new people here. Couldn't they all have one book for free?
Absolutely.
And anyway, you know, there are some price tags on the books, but those are just suggested donations. We really rather have you have the message and the strength and for the time. The Lord has provided for it all. And so, you know, we have these tools, and it's just a shame if we just have them sitting somewhere when they could help people get through the storm. Yes.
One that means a lot to me, and I don't know if you mentioned it, is I Will Trust in You. It's actually the little book.
In Him Will I Trust.
In Him Will I Trust.
In Him Will I Trust, yeah. That is a very beautiful book. You can just take for your quiet time and meditate on it because it has pictures, and then it has just a saying, and then it has a little message, and then a song, and you can... Yeah.
It's the Bible verse, Hebrews 10:35. You know, don't throw away your confidence because it's your testimony, the track record of the Lord in your life that is your testimony.
Yes. See, I told you we won't get there through our whole story, but I think you have enough to encourage yourself when you get into the storm. And then just the second part of this, when Jesus speaks, he says, take courage. And the second part of the saying is, it is I. And you know, that is what makes the difference. It's who speaks it. It is I. And some translation says, instead of it is I, it says I am. Because that is God's name, I am. And David Wilkerson once said, he said, I am is the name of God, and it means I am whatever you need at any point in your life. And it is he who says, take courage. It's not some human being, you know, who wants to encourage you and make you feel good and can't really do much about it. It is the Lord. And so I will read this from Francis de Sales. Do not look forward to what may happen tomorrow. The same everlasting Father who cares for you today will take care of you tomorrow and every day. Either he will shield you from suffering or he will give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace then. Put aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations and say continually, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart has trusted in him and I am helped. He is not only with me, but in me and I in him. And tonight we will go a little bit more into who it is who says it is I. Because that is, you know, we just need to, you know, when we magnify the Lord, he doesn't get any bigger, but we see him, you know, in our eyes, and that's what we need to see. You know, we can't, he's always the same, he's the Almighty, we just lose sight of who he really is. And so tonight we will, well actually this afternoon it will start already. So you get a lot of different things, I hope you can digest it all, but anyway, take it home, and the Lord has something in it for you, so pick up what he wants to say. Is there anything? Yeah, Sandra.
Yeah, don't forget at
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, if you would like to see the little 15-minute DVD about Canaan, it'll be at 3 o'clock.
Yeah. And Sandra, you wanted to say something for the mealtime?
Oh.
Then we have to go down because they like us to be, you know, they're not, they start coming really late,
sure.
So they get their kitchen duties done.
I was just going to suggest, and you know, you don't have to do it by me, but don't sit at lunch or dinner or breakfast with who you came with. Sit in, you know, with people maybe that you've never met and get to know everybody. And what we did this morning at breakfast is we introduced ourselves, and because we all came from different places, you know, different whatever, and shared. What we shared was how we came to the retreat, or how we came to know the sisters, and anyway, it was very sweet. We cried, we laughed, and it was just a really sweet way of getting to know one another, and you know who you came with really well, probably, but you may not know Valerie. Not know Michelle, and you'll be missing out if you don't get to know it.
Good work.
I forgot our song that we were going to sing. It's in the yellow sheet, but this is the late
when
night.
The waves rise.
Yeah, is it the late night?
You've got 10 minutes to get down there. Does it take
okay, long? Just read it. You can read it. Yeah.
Read it on the way.
It's a good one. It's by Mario Basile, and it's so descriptive. It's number 5 in the yellow sheet.